Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today we're speaking with Mr. Scott Greenberg, an internationally recognized speaker, author, and coach who helps franchise owners grow their businesses, build high-performing teams, and create unforgettable customer experiences. His new book is The Wealthy Franchisee, Game-Changing Steps to Becoming a Thriving Franchise Superstar. And Mr. Greenberg, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
So glad to be here.
I certainly appreciate your coming out to be with us here today and looking forward to hearing from you per your expertise. So to kick things off, what actually made you want to write a book about franchisees compared to other types of business owners?
Well, my background is in the franchise world. I grew up with a father who was a serial business owner, and that included many franchises, so it's always very normal to me. And after owning a franchise for 10 years and being a speaker in the franchise world and consultant and coach, I just had a lot of people saying, hey, where's your book? Because they wanted, you know, a sort of a deeper dive into the concepts that I was talking about. So after hearing that request enough times, I ended up, you know, writing a proposal and shopping it around and got a book deal and was able to really delve deep into, you know, what it takes for people to succeed in franchising.
Well, I think that's fantastic. Certainly a need. Now, your book is titled The Wealthy Franchisee. What do you mean by wealthy franchisee?
Well, I've in the process of doing all this work in the franchise world, I've interviewed a lot of franchisees, and I've interviewed enough of the best ones to see what they all have in common. Not just the tactics and what they do, but sort of what are some traits that they all have that really distinguish them. And there's three things that to me are the criteria for being wealthy. The most obvious one, of course, is financial gain, that you should get a good return on your investment, and you should be satisfied based on your expectations and where you live. It's subjective what it means to be rich or wealthy, but you should get a good financial return on your investment. So that's the first criteria. But you could take two franchise owners who are doing the same thing, both making $100,000, but if one of them is making that much money in, you know, working 20 hours a week and the other one's doing it working 80 hours a week, they're not the same. So the second criteria for being a wealthy franchisee is that you're in control of your time. What I've observed about these top franchise people is that they go to their kids' volleyball games and ballet recitals, and they're home for dinner, and they travel. Or they have time to run other businesses. They're not slaves to the business. So the second characteristic they all have in common, in addition to making good money, is that they have control over their time. Finally, the third characteristic for being wealthy is quality of life. Your business should not cause you so much stress that you hate getting up in the morning or it makes you sick or gives you ulcers. You should feel like your life is better and you're fortunate to have that business. So to be a wealthy franchisee means to have all three of these things, and many of these people do. So it's not something that is aspirational. It's truly something that people can achieve.
Well, you certainly made a lot of fantastic points and not out of jazz up the audience about right now. Now, tell us, what are some myths about why top franchisees are successful?
It's a good question because, you know, the whole idea in the franchise world is to be able to replicate conditions, replicate systems, replicate branding that leads to success. But what a lot of people do is they see someone else within their brand who is succeeding, and rather than really delving into what makes them successful, they guess. And so the most common ones are, first is location. People think, well, that person's succeeding because they got lucky or they got fortunate with that really great location. And that simply isn't true. Location does matter in franchise businesses, especially for retail locations or for restaurants, right? You want to go, you know, you want to fish where the fish are. You want to go where you're serving the right demographic and the right number of people. Those things matter. But what I've found is that these top franchisees, what they really, most of them have, are good enough locations, but they execute really, really well. And very often what they'll do is they'll find a neighboring franchise that someone has written off saying, I have a bad location, it's terrible, they want to get out, and they sell cheap. So these people buy these locations cheap, and then they build them up, and they make them great. That's one thing. I was a franchisee for 10 years, and our second location was one we acquired from someone who did exactly that. They thought the location was terrible. It always ranked really low. So we went in and we, you know, remodeled and turned it around and managed it differently, and we made it profitable. It turned out to be a great location. So that's the first myth, is that it's location. And I met one franchisee from the UPS store twice he took over struggling locations, one of which was two doors down from a FedEx office store. And both times he made these stores number one out of thousands of UPS stores nationwide. So it's a myth that you have to have a great location in order to be successful. It is also a myth that wealthy franchisees are workaholics. As I mentioned before, they have lives and they have multiple businesses. And so, you know, the franchisees who I met who own dozens of locations, they don't have any more hours in the day than someone who's just working one. But they don't just work hard, they work smart. And it's less about full time than it is full commitment. So they embrace and replicate the proven systems. They invest a lot of time developing their employees into leaders. And that yields the franchisee more time to have a life. So they're not workaholics. It's a myth that they have to have more education or more experience. And the reason for that is a lot of people who have a lot of business experience, they have some kind of corporate job, they've done other things, they will bring those ideas and bring those ideas into their new business, and often that makes it harder for them to embrace the franchisor systems. So it's one thing if they understand how to manage people, if they understand marketing, if they understand bookkeeping, but a lot of these people struggle to let go of the old ideas, and they want to innovate rather than execute. And franchising is really about execution. And I've met a lot of franchisees who did not go to college, who don't have a lot of business experience, but they're willing to work hard, they're willing to learn from their franchisor and work smart, and they can be very successful. The last myth that I hear a lot is people say that you need to love the business and be passionate about it. I don't think that's true. I was a franchisee with Edible Arrangements. We did very well. I was not particularly in love with fruit or fruit baskets. I did love the idea of being in the celebration business. And what I observed is all these franchisees who are successful, they do love something about the business, but it's not necessarily the product or service that they sell. So there's a lot of myths out there about why these people are successful. And I think it's important to ask better questions to find out what are the real reasons why they're successful and what are the things that the rest of us can replicate so we can get wealthy too.
Certainly some fantastic information shared so far today. We're joined by Mr. Scott Greenberg, the author of his new book, The Wealthy Franchisee, Game-Changing Steps to Becoming a Thriving Franchise Superstar. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, what are the most common problems that you see among franchise business owners?
So one of the first things that I hear a lot, and something I spoke on a moment ago, is that they deviate from the system. That they're not necessarily getting the results they want, so they assume that there's something wrong with the system, whether it is pricing or whether it's where they're buying their supplies from, just something about the product line, something about the business that they don't trust, and so they assume that that's the issue, and so they deviate from the system, and that just never works. Again, I've interviewed a lot of great franchisees, and none of them told me the reason why they're successful is because they did things their own way. They might have raised their standards, but they're not tinkering too much. So that's a big thing is deviating from the system. Another big problem, it might be the biggest problem, is they run their business from a place of emotion. They give in to negative self-talk. They catastrophize. They allow all those human factors, over which we don't have a whole lot of control, they allow those things to drive the activity that they engage in. Wealthy franchisees are really good about clearing their head. They'll take a moment to, breathe, to take a walk, to get their emotions in order first before they take action. So that's a real problem, is letting your emotions, letting your assumptions get the best of you. And then finally, I think one of the most common problems I see is people don't act like business people. I am next week going to be doing a virtual presentation for a franchise brand, and I've interviewed a number of their franchisees. And a lot of them, they want to do the work, they want to run the business, but they don't think about growing the business. And one of them said, well, I can't afford to hire any help. He looked at it as an expense rather than an investment. So consequently, he's out there, it's a home service concept, so he's out there providing home service, and then when potential customers are calling, he's not answering the phone, or he's calling back later, or he calls them, but he's busy, so he's angering the current customers who want his focus, and he's not fully present or responsive to people who are calling because he's trying to do it all himself. And so I think that people need to stop thinking, if you buy a business, you can't think like an employee. You must think and act like an owner, focusing on growing the business rather than on running the business.
Now, Scott, if you would, taking that even further, what makes top franchisees different than everyone else running the same business?
So So it's a great question, and it's a huge question. I could go on all day, and I could say I could write a book about it. I did write a book about it. All my work is about that. But if I had to narrow it down to three main areas of what these people do that make them great, it would be the following. The first is the ability to clear their head. As I mentioned before, the ability to be humble, to look in the mirror and say, okay, I need to take a deep breath here and make sure that I'm an asset to my business and not a liability. So they are really good at clearing their head, keeping their emotions in check. It's not that they don't feel the business, they do, and they have those you know, emotional thoughts, but they take time to clear their head of that stuff. So they have a clear head, they stop themselves from catastrophizing and making assumptions, and they allow themselves to focus on the data. So that's the first thing, is they keep a clear head. The second thing they all have in common, as I mentioned before, is they stick to the system. Going deeper with that, though, not only do they just kind of do things the way their franchisor has proven to work, but they stay engaged within the system. So they maintain good relationships with their franchisor. They communicate. They communicate their grievances respectfully. They cultivate good relationships, and they're active in their brands. So they sit on councils and advisory boards, and they help out other franchisees. So they stick to the system, and they're engaged in it. And finally, they use their business to improve the lives of everyone it touches, and mainly their employees and their customers. So they don't just, hire, warm bodies and then, train them and direct them to get work done. They really invest in their well-being and develop them into leaders and, elevate how these people feel. And then the same thing with their customers, that they don't just sell products and services. They also aim to elevate the emotional state, because they understand that what brings customers back and what gets them talking and posting good things isn't what the customer gets, but how the customer feels. So they make sure that every encounter with a customer elevates the customer's emotional state and really want to improve their lives. And then going even deeper with that, they're active in the communities. They donate products and services and time. They go to networking functions. They're out there in the community trying to better people's lives. And I share that with some franchisees, and like, well, look, I got to take care of myself first. I want to, I'm going to get rich first. I'm going to make my money, take care of my family, then I'm going to take care of the community, then I'll give back. I don't believe in giving back. That implies a quid pro quo. It means you have to take care of yourself first. I think we need to give first, because there's a boomerang effect. Not only do I think it's morally the right thing to do, but from a business standpoint, it's the right thing to do. By giving rather than giving back, by being out there serving your community, you're putting value out there. And there's a boomerang effect, and it's one of the common things that I've observed among wealthy franchisees. So they keep a clear head, they stick to the system, and they use their businesses to improve the lives of everyone it touches. These are common among all these great franchisees in a variety of brands across many different industries.
Mr. Greenberg, really awesome to have had you today. And for those that are looking to start or buy into a franchise, they ought to be quite motivated and inspired to hear your message here today. Lastly, and in conclusion, what are the most common concerns that you hear from the franchisees who come to you for coaching, and what kind of help are they typically looking for?
It's such an interesting question, because they come with specific concerns, wanting to work through specific things. And more often than not, once we get talking and once we get working, it turns out the problem was something different. So I had one client who I've been coaching now for months, and he came to me because his general manager, he thought, was doing a poor job and he had issues with him. In fact, he came to these things, "Did you coach my general manager?" Well, the general manager was resistant to coaching, and as we dug deeper, we realized that this owner didn't know how to manage his manager. And then we dug even deeper than that, and it turns out that not only was there a lack of knowledge, but there was certain fear and certain concern. And this franchisee wasn't giving his business enough attention. And then we got even deeper than that and found, other issues. And so, that's pretty common. That's happened more than once. And so usually people come to me for something on the surface, which is they want more profitability, they want to motivate their employees, and these are real issues, and I can help them with that. But very often as we dig deeper, we realize that the franchisee has certain things beneath the surface that they weren't aware of that impacts their performance, and I help them with those things as well, and that stuff is what really makes a difference.
Mr. Greenberg, I'm sure listeners want to know how they could connect with you and get more information on yourself and your services, and obviously pick up the book, The Wealthy Franchisee.
Well, the book is available wherever books are sold. Amazon.com is probably the most obvious one, so you can get it there. There's also a an ebook and a audiobook that people can get. And then you can also, if you want more information on me, on my speaking programs, on the one-on-one coaching, and I am developing a Wealthy Franchisee Business Breakthrough Program, which is a combination of instruction, of coaching, and action steps to take. That will be available hopefully in January. But just go to thewealthyfranchisee.com, and all my social media handles, all the information is there, thewealthyfranchisee.com.
And that certainly works. Again, Mr. Greenberg, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on EPN.
It's been such a pleasure. Thanks so much.
And you're more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Scott Greenberg, an internationally recognized speaker, author, and coach who helps franchise owners grow their businesses, build high-performing teams, and create unforgettable customer experiences. His new book is called The Wealthy Franchisee, Game-Changing Steps to Becoming a Thriving Franchise Superstar. And for all the details, visit scottgreenberg.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.